This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Tom Fitzmaurice with the second course of The Food Show. It's our program of eating and drinking and restaurants and cooking and wine and delicious things and not so delicious things, because sometimes you're going out and you're looking for something great to eat and you know it's in there somewhere, but for some reason it just doesn't come. And then if it happens often enough, we know what it is. It is that plague known as the bad restaurant. But we don't have anything such as that. Today, we're very happy to have with us Will Avalar, who is the executive chef at Merrill, M-E-R-I-L. This is over I don't know why I can never remember the name of this.
Is it Girard?
It's Girard Street. I don't know. I can never remember Girard Street. He's the first mayor of New Orleans.
Yes.
Guy who invented sugarcane as we know it. He did, yeah. He owned Audubon Park, and that was his. That's where he raised sugar. And the way that they refine sugar now, it's basically his invention. So he was really somebody, not just a guy whose name I forget all the time. Amy Wilson is here. The only Wilson I need to connect with here is, of course, the lead singer and writer of all their great songs of the Beach Boys, Brian Wilson. But but everybody's looking at me like, are we, who's this guy? Are you sure he's not the right one? Well, Cajun Caviar, and that's who Amy works with. Or wait a minute, maybe I have your credentials wrong. What is your official title?
I'm one of the owners of Louisiana
Caviar. Ooh, okay, well, close enough.
Use you.
in 1989, my wife and I were married. We had our wedding reception at a friend's house uptown in the Garden District, and she let us have the place, and we had chefs running all over the restaurant and all over the place just doing great food for us. But out there on the ice were 2 pound cans, and I know a pound can of caviar is smaller than a pound can of anything else. Do you still use that description?
We use ounces.
Ounces, yeah. Your actual ounces, but you know what I'm talking about.
That's a lot of caviar.
Like 16 ounces was not a pound of caviar. It was 12 ounces was considered a pound of caviar. So anyway, I had 2 of these, and it came from the guys who were running the Cajun Caviar thing at the time. I think it had a different name, like Royal something or other.
No? Louisiana Caviar Company.
All along? Okay.
Cajun Caviar.
It seems like I made that mistake somewhere along the way. But there it was, sitting in those beautiful cans, which looked pretty much like the cans that the most expensive caviar in the world comes from. And we had them open on the ice and spoons and everything there. And people kept walking up to me and saying, I just tried that caviar. And, you know, I've heard about this, but I had no idea, first of all, how good it was and that you could afford something like that. We had them totally bamboozled. And I wasn't saying anything. I had no label on it that said beluga caviar or anything like that. Here's the caviar. Of course, you know, we're tasteful people, so help yourself. And people were going bananas over it. This was when we were getting it for $24 a pound. What is it now? I hate to even ask.
Well, we don't serve it by the pound or sell it by the pound, I should say.
That's a good
comparison, but it's still affordable.
Oh, well, I would think so, but not as affordable as that figure I just told you, I'll bet you.
Well, that was almost 30 years ago.
I know. It's a long time ago, but it impressed the daylights out of everybody there. There were a lot of people there who you might imagine really knew what caviar was about and really enjoyed it, and they just walked up to me and said, I can't believe it. I mean, I thought you were just, you know, one of those jokers that runs around and does what you do. So anyway, we had it then, and it was a magnificent product, and it still is. And every time I run into it anywhere, I see if I can get a little extra on mine just because it's so great. Tell me the story, because there's an interesting story behind this, and parts of it speak to things that hardly anybody knows about. So fire away.
Well, I actually had a similar experience with Cajun caviar.
You married my wife, too? No, that couldn't be. No, never mind.
No. But I, myself, the first time I tried it, was pretty surprised at the quality and the fact that it was actually affordable. And so I continued to eat it myself and purchase it, here locally at Martin's Wine Cellar and at many restaurants throughout New Orleans, many of Emerald's restaurants, Commander's Palace, Bourbon House, a lot of these big names that were, we've all visited before and would just continue to eat the caviar myself, as did the other two owners of the company.
Not bad, huh?
And we just felt that this product that is, right here, fished out of the Atchafalaya Basin and harvested locally, needs to be shared with more people throughout not only the city, but throughout the country.
Mm-hmm.
So we're pretty lucky to have such a great product.
It is really something. It comes from a fish. I'll let you have that one, too.
It comes from the shoepick, or more commonly known as the bowfin.
Choupique. Yeah.
Yep.
And the bowfin, that's what the scientists call it.
Yes, it's more commonly known.
Very primitive fish.
Mm-hmm.
It almost has legs. And it does kind of get around on land a little bit. And I remember when I was a kid, I used to live right on the levee in what is now River Ridge. And we used to go over to the other side of the levee, and it had kind of a batcher that went pretty far out. And there would be ponds back there. And we saw them on more than one occasion. And we brought one home to the dad of one of my buddies. And we wondered, what is this exactly? What are you giving us here? And his dad said, that's just choupique. Choupique, what's that? And we thought we were going out and catching something that our mothers would cook, for a fried trout or something. But it's all over the place, isn't it? I mean, in Louisiana is what I mean, I guess.
Yeah, it's actually a fish that's found throughout the country and in Canada.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think that the bowfin found here in Louisiana are a little bit different because it's what they feed on. So,
what do they feed on?
Well, bowfin love crawfish. So
they're in business for sure.
Yeah, so eat a lot of crawfish here, and they feed off of Louisiana seafood delicacies that we all love.
Yeah.
So that's what makes our bowfin a little bit different than bowfin throughout the country.
What would a bowfin seafood platter be like? Okay, you don't have to answer that because that was just made for a joke, maybe. So, all right, this has been rolling along for quite some time now, and to me the best thing I've ever seen done with it, because it takes two of my favorite things to eat and puts them together. It's over at the Bourbon House. They have on the menu what they call Mr. Dick's favorite oysters. Mm-hmm. And what it was each oyster looked shucked to order, of course, on the ice, and then they would top it with what looked to be about a tablespoon of your caviar. And what a combination that is. That is just great. You have the subtle flavors of two really wonderful things. And I'm always happy to see one of those. But you can do anything you want with it, right?
Yeah, I mean, oyster. I prefer the caviar on top of oysters as well.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, we've seen it on deviled eggs. We've seen it with French fries, potato chips, tuna and crackers. Chef Will at Merrill does it on top of potato salad and some deviled eggs.
And we are still happy to be able to say there is, as of yet, as far as I know, no such thing as a caviar king cake.
Well, maybe this year there will be.
Oh, I screwed
there
it up.
Go. I think you just challenged
us. Thanks for the idea.
Oh, brother. Okay. Where do you? It's seasonal, isn't it? I mean, you can't just have it all year round.
No, you can have it all year round. I mean, there's definitely harvesting seasons of bowfin, where you're going to harvest more of the bowfin.
It's early in the year, right?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And then, through the winter months.
And is that the caviar for the whole season?
Yep.
And that's it?
Yep.
So you have to be pretty careful about how you allot this, I would think.
Yes.
Well, how do you allot it? That's my Who's he, by the way? This guy just came in?
Yeah.
Huh? What?
I'm Jeremy Smith. I'm the general manager over at Merrill.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll work you in at... We're sort of having a party with all of this caviar flopping around here.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, let's see. Where were we? We were eating it just raw, but you can do anything you want with this. There's over at Brennan's on Royal Street. They are doing one of their omelets with caviar and hollandaise sauce. And hollandaise sauce and Cajun caviar, that's another really nice combination.
Yes.
What else? What else have you discovered?
I've seen it on nachos before, a couple different times.
Crawfish
I think
nachos.
Chef Will had,
Crawfish nacho? Oh, over at your place?
Yeah. During Mardi Gras season, we ran it for a couple times.
Yeah. What does it taste like?
Delicious.
Amazing.
My guess on that would be, it tastes like crawfish with caviar.
It's exactly what they eat, so why not put them together, right?
That's right, yeah. Who would have thought of that? Well, it's still out there, and it's coming along. Do you have good years and bad years?
Oh, only good years when you're eating
caviar. Well, I understand that. But, you know,
the weather could definitely alter, you know, the amount of fish that you're catching. But at this point, everything's good for us. If I get to eat caviar whenever I want,
I couldn't agree with you more.
You know?
What is the price of it these days, retail? There are people out here who are teetering on the balance of, am I going to buy some of this for something we have? You know, somebody's getting married. Boy, perfect thing to give somebody if they're getting married.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's great because it is actually an affordable luxury that comes right out of our backyard. So we sell a 5-ounce jar for $110 either at our website or at Martin's Wine Cellar locally. Or we sell a 1.5-ounce jar for $35, again, on the website or at Martin's. And then we also have a spicy caviar, which is infused with ghost peppers, and that sells
at 2.6. I think I've had that at some point somewhere. I forget.
It's really good.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't zing out the flavor of the caviar itself?
Yeah, I prefer the ghost pepper on top of a deviled egg or anything versus just
that
plain, where the regular bowfin I'll eat with just a little Bellini or cracker.
Well, the real purists in caviar, they are always saying how, first of all, you can't use a metallic spoon to eat it because it kind of causes some sort of electrical circuit to form. I don't know how it exactly works, but it's just best with that mother of pearl spoon, and then take it in your mouth, and there it is. I mean, it's just a great thing. It's something that a lot of people say, fish eggs, why would I ever order that? But it's real good.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun. We're having a very lively show today, to put it mildly. With us, we have a part of the crew of Merrill, which is Emerald's new restaurant, over on, I did it again.
It starts with a G.
A G. It does?
I.
Oh, Girard.
Yes.
Girard Street.
Quickly.
On Girard Street, right off of Chapatoulas, I think, right?
Yes.
And right around the corner from us, it's one of the neighborhood restaurants now in the Warehouse District, which is as hip a place as you could get. The place itself is hip. The food is hip. It's for those millennials that are supposed to be streaming into New Orleans in huge numbers. It seems to go for their tastes pretty well. Anyway, with us to talk about that today, we have Will Avalar, who is the executive chef over at Merrill.
Hello.
And do you ever do anything with the Cajun caviar?
Yeah, I bet you do. Yeah, we've done several things with Cajun caviar.
Tell me a couple.
One of them, the first ones, when we opened up, we were doing a potato salad with Cajun caviar on top.
Yeah.
And a little parsley oil and some crackers.
Parsley oil. Now, yes. Who would know that you could get oil from parsley?
I would.
Yeah, well, I bet you would. Yeah. Does this come in already squeezed for you? Is this something you have to do yourself?
Oh, no. We make it ourselves at the restaurant.
Do you?
Yeah. Now, any herb, you know.
Give me the rundown of how you make parsley oil.
Well, you would take parsley and blanch it.
Uh-huh.
So put it in boiling water, then shock it, then squeeze it until all the water is out.
Yeah.
And what that does, it makes the herb bright and green. At that point, yeah. We'll mm-hmm. take the parsley, put it in a blender, and then stream in some very, very cold olive oil or canola oil.
Okay.
And then you would flavor that oil with the pureed parsley. You let that sit for a little bit and then just strain out the puree, and what you would have is the flavored oil.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't have guessed that, but it sounds logical to me.
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
Well, yeah. It's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. Hey, we have Gregory waiting over here. Hello, Gregory. Welcome.
Hey, Tom. What a terrific show, because I know how much you love that product. That Cajun caviar.
It's very close to my heart, Cajun caviar.
And, yeah, and, you know, I get mine from Martin's exclusively. I used to work for Cedric, you know, and Mr. David, and thank God it's still there. It is unbelievable when I make canapes. It's a go-to thing. The plain, especially that ghost pepper caviar on mm-hmm. top of smoked salmon canapes with just a touch of chive and cream cheese.
Yeah, but any parsley oil in there?
No, I haven't made parsley oil. But I could get some. I could probably make it myself, actually. It's not that hard. But that Cajun caviar is the best. And every time I entertain, these people want it. They love it. People that don't even
like
caviar.
Well, who could blame
before.
Them? Yeah.
I know it. And here it is right in our backyard. What a commodity. Because, I mean, I remember when I worked for Martin's, how expensive the beluga
started. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just
unavailable. And it is. But, I mean, you got to have, like, armed guards bring in a friggin' ounce of it, you know?
Well, I mean, this is, in a way, as it should be, because beluga caviar is, as far as I know, last time I checked, it is totally protected, and it's, on the extinction list. It's not something we ought to be eating. I know I wouldn't touch it.
Well, no, that's not quite true. They still harvest it in certain areas of the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea, and it is available for sale, but the price is prohibitive. I mean,
okay.
You won't see that anywhere outside of an embassy, you know what I mean? Or some kind of steak dinner.
I don't know. I would be very leery of
it. But anyway,
yeah.
These guys need to, your audience, your listeners need to know what a great commodity that we have here.
Yeah.
How delicious.
Oh, it really is good.
Delicious yeah. It is. And it's cheap. I didn't mean to say that it's bad. I meant to say it's
yeah.
expensive.
Yeah, there's no question about that. All right, well, thanks
all right,
for...
terrific show.
Yeah, I appreciate your stopping in. It's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. And... I've just been handed a plastic cup of the kind that you would get if you were at a Mardi Gras parade and you were lucky and somebody on one of the floats threw you a cup and you would have something kind of neat. I'm holding in my hand a Merrill cup. This is for Merrill Restaurant. This is Emerald's newest place over on Girard Street.
Yes,
I got it
hey. This time.
Girard Street right off of Chapatoulas. And the idea of this is that you're trying to have people show up around the world and maybe even out of this world.
Yes.
In order to display whoever that is.
If you can get that on a space shuttle, just let me know.
The space shuttle is it, huh? Well, there was a guy who got one of the astronauts once lugged on a deli a corned beef and rye sandwich that he wasn't supposed to do. And he ate it up in outer space and... I don't know where it came from, but it would be pretty good, huh?
A Merrill Cup challenge.
Yeah. I think you could say that it's out of this world, literally.
Literally.
Yeah. Yeah.
It could be out of this world, literally.
Yeah. So, like, what kind of things would you put in this cup while we're waiting for that to happen?
Well...
Cajun caviar.
Cajun caviar. That'd be a lot of Cajun caviar.
Yeah. Well, you could put some nachos in there and then top it off with Cajun caviar.
Huh? Yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
Would you have
we've
any?
We've seen meatballs in there.
Yeah.
Meatballs to go.
Cotton candy that's like wrapped in foie gras. What's that?
Do you have you serve meatballs?
At the restaurant, yeah.
Yeah. My, you know, I was hesitating to say this, but I think my wife and my daughter, both of them are meatball fanatics.
Yes.
And I think I've watched them put down each of them like two orders of it. But this is, you know, the millennials, you come into your restaurant, that's it's perfect for them because the first time we went in there,
mm-hmm.
we were looking through the menu and we said, look, we're not quite ready to order, but we were thinking about maybe having this and this right now and then have a cocktail. And then after that, we'll ask for this. And I don't know, we got to figure it out yet. And it wound up being like four or five stages of this, you know, two course at a time for six people.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought these guys in the kitchen must really, really be ticked off about having to do things this way. But it turns out this is the way you set up the whole deal, right?
That's the way we set up the menu, the way you can order it. It's kind of like designed for you to come in and make your own dining experience. Either
yeah.
you order it the way you want or you let the server kind of like, You're in
nudge
their
you
hands.
Along, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it really works, both in terms of the quality of the food and also just the fun of it all. I mean,
it's pretty fun.
It's a loose kind of happening sort of place, hangout.
Very casual.
Have a cocktail, have a glass of wine. Yeah.
Pretty chill.
All you have to do is get a table. Not the easiest thing
if you can get one. Yeah.
That's what I was about to say. You know, it's the place is always pretty busy.
Yeah, we're staying pretty busy.
So just call for a reservation. That takes care of that, right?
That's easy yeah. like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. 504-52 Merrill.
Well, oh, what is it? Wait, 52?
52 Merrill.
52
Merrill. We're on open right. table as well.
Merrill. Okay, that's good.
526-3745. Merrill
is the name of one of Emerald's daughters.
Chef
right?
Emerald's youngest daughter. That's
youngest
correct.
Daughter. Yeah. Does she ever show up or anything?
She does. She was kind of in there right at the beginning, pretty often. Yeah. You know, working the door, seating tables. She's in the office. You know, keeping everybody on their game, making sure that, mm-hmm. that fun, lively atmosphere stays there. You know,
she also goes to school full time, so we can't really see her the whole lot. But whenever she's off, she comes by.
Yeah, yeah. Where are the cameras, by the way? You know, she might be watching
right?
from there and wherever she is. Well, that's pretty cool too. Who did all of those drawings along the walls they're of crawfish and crabs and all that, but they all look like prehistoric reptiles.
Yeah, it was done by our director of operations, son Landon Lott.
Yeah.
Well,
he's pretty good.
Stuff. Yeah, he did that freehand with aerosol cans. So that's all.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's pretty It's pretty amazing. It's a great feature to walk in and see.
It really is.
He has some pretty awesome artwork, so we're lucky to be able to have his artwork on the wall.
It's unique.
Exclusive.
Yeah. I've never seen
anything. He doesn't do like pieces like that for restaurants or public stuff like
no,
that.
No.
So
that's
it's
the real deal.
Stuff, yeah.
Well, you know, Emeralds has always been like that in its way. You know?
Yeah.
So
why
not?
That's why we're pretty exclusive to have Cajun caviar at the restaurant as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not? What else is going on over there at Merrill lately?
Have a pretty good happy hour going on right now.
Yeah, what's happening? You know, how does it make you happy?
So happy because it's not only 1 hour; it's 2 hours actually.
2 hours.
So it's between 4 and 6.
Yeah,
we do $5 flatbreads, and what's the cocktail
flatbreads?
Specials?
This is your answer to pizza, is it?
This is our response to pizza for sure.
What is the actual difference? We were puzzling about this the other day, and I said, you know. If I were doing both of these things, I would wind up with something that was pretty similar.
Well, normally you would find like a pizza would say round, if you wouldn't mind. And pizza
is normally
from Italy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think the difference is that a pizza, I can't tell you the difference, actually.
Oh, what is it? Some secret thing?
It's not
something
secret.
So stupid.
I don't think it's been discovered yet. I don't think it's been, you know, the scientists haven't discovered it yet.
Hmm.
Why?
Well, I'll be watching for it.
Yes,
I'm
waiting for the answer too.
I think it's just a shape.
Shape too. And I mean, flatbreads is you can find them throughout the world as well.
That's true.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pizzas you can find throughout the world as well, but they originate in Italy.
Where'd you come from? I don't remember running into you before. I ran into you at the restaurant.
We actually seen ourselves a couple times at Delmonico.
Ah, that's it. That's I love Delmonico.
Yes.
Although the last three times I went there, they threw me out.
They threw well, you. Well, I mean, they probably sang what, too much.
What they? No. That I'm sure it could be true. But the, what it really was is that I went on a busy night and they were packed.
Yeah.
I'm always happy to see some of my favorite restaurants be packed because that means that they're going to keep on doing it. I think that's a really underrated restaurant.
It's one of those hidden gems. It really is.
Yeah. I love going there, and Ron is still playing piano.
Friday and Saturday
he's,
nights.
He's good.
Ron Jones.
Ronald Jones.
Yes.
Now we know. Well, this is all a nice little conclave on the subject of Cajun caviar, bringing in Merrill and the PR fortunes of the people who do that. And over here we have a lady whose name is Miranda.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yes. And she will now read you your rights. I'm sorry.
He was waiting.
There's no way I would have gotten through this show without using that. It's
How
just
did the crickets get in here?
I'm used to that, too. Our program today is sponsored by the Maple Street Cafe. The Maple Street does something that's kind of an interesting little touch. If you're going there looking for an easygoing place, you know, you don't want to dress up. You don't want to spend a lot of money. You want pretty straightforward food. But you want it to be a little more than just a sandwich shop or just the basic kind of stuff so that after you go home, you feel like, well, I've been somewhere. That it does kind of feel like that. It always has. They took over a old residence is what it was, and they renovated it. They made the tiniest little kitchen you could possibly imagine. And when I questioned them about this, they said, you know, it has a function. If you have a very small kitchen, you can't cook anything ahead of time because there's no place to put it. And I thought, you know, that does sound right, because what's one of the worst things in the world is to go into a restaurant and find that they feed you stuff that they made about, 2 hours ago, which is not good. But they don't. They do everything to order. They have to. They're also open just about every day of the year. The only exception is, strangely enough, Labor Day. They don't work on Labor Day. That's the only day they take off. All of this is at the Maple Street Cafe, 7623 Maple Street, about midway between Broadway and Carrollton, and they're always open. The Maple Street Cafe. This is Tom Fitzmaurice. It's great to be here with you talking about food and restaurants and stuff. Are you reading something critically important here? I was about to ask you something.
Go ahead, but I had an answer for you.
He has a follow-up.
Oh, an answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So I'm reading, a flatbread is usually rectangular in shape and has a thinner, crisper crust than pizza.
And that's it?
That's what Google said.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, that's not a whole big difference there.
No.
Not really. And there are places in the world where pizzas are square. I mean, there used to be this... There used to be this place. This will answer a question that I guarantee you at least 50 people listening to us right now have been wanting to know the answer to this question, and they're about to get it. There was a restaurant on Melpomene. It was on the riverside of St. Charles Avenue. That's why it wouldn't be Martin Luther King, because it would be on the other side. But it was and still is Melpomene, and they did pizzas, and they were square. Pizzas. The slices you got were square. The pie itself was square. It was almost a deep dish pizza. There was really a lot of sauce and cheese in there to begin with. And the name of that restaurant, this is what people ask me about more than you could possibly imagine. I'd say 50 times a year people ask me this question. Yeah. It was called The Deli. That's it. Just the Deli. And it was an unusual pizza, but it was different. So, but that one was square. That's not a flatbread.
Mm-hmm.
You see,
but rectangulars are the flatbreads.
Oh, that's it. You're doing it that way.
Rectangular, yes.
Yeah. Okay. And then the round ones are like they do in Italy.
Yes.
So you can't argue with that too much.
No, not at all. But I know that like in some place in Italy, you can buy a pizza by the foot, which probably
by the foot.
Yes, which comes out like rectangular shape. So
well, you know, you got to keep people's minds busy.
Yes, of course.
What else do you have going on over at Merrill lately? What's
Well, we're going to have our...
You change your menu pretty often, I know.
Pretty often. Yeah. You know, depending on what works and what doesn't. We're actually, you know, in the works of our one-year birthday party.
Oh.
Yes.
When's that?
September 24th is when we turn 1 year old.
Gosh, I keep forgetting just how youthful a restaurant that is, because pretty I young. Usually don't go to restaurants that quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I like to let them just sit there and marinate for a while before I go.
Give them a chance.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, things happen in restaurants you don't know, that you have no idea ahead of time. But my wife and my daughter just got so turned on by the place that they were in there within the first week,
I think.
Great. My wife loves being the first one in. I have to agree with her. All the meals we've had at Merrill have been wonderful.
I'm glad.
Really
to hear
enjoy
that.
It.
I'm very glad.
Yeah. Anyway, we ever see Emeril anymore?
He was there last night.
Oh, was he?
He was hanging out with us in the kitchen. He had some meetings during the day, but yeah, we see him quite often. He lives in the building upstairs from the restaurant.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He was making some flatbreads last night. He was
the
wood oven station. He was, you know, had some sweat rolling down the brow,
that's
and
good.
You know. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He still gets in there.
Yeah, he gets in the trenches.
That's what I've always heard. I need to go talk to him. I wonder if he'll even bother to do this, but I have my old cookbook, which came out, and he did the foreword for it, too. He was nice enough to do that. I put out a cookbook in right after Katrina, really, and I gave half of the money from it to people who were in trouble. And by some miracle, it has continued to sell and sell and sell, and they're doing a revision of it. And they asked me to get some quotes from people, but everybody I can think of who would make a difference with a quotation like that, they have their own cookbooks, and why would you endorse somebody else's cookbook? I don't know. Emeril just might, though, because I know what kind of guy he is. He's always there helping all kinds of
Chef
things.
Will doesn't have any cookbooks.
No.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, maybe.
Not just yet.
Yeah, well, no.
There's going to be a flatbread in that.
I'm sure.
Not a pizza.
Not a pizza.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll be doing flatbreads.
Ah. What, a whole book of flatbreads?
It'll probably be the oven
section. It's
not
a bad idea.
You know, the possibilities are pretty, they're pretty endless.
Yeah,
with
endless.
Flatbreads. Yes. I mean, we're doing a Mexican flatbread right now.
The past couple days we ran a Mexican flatbread.
What's on it?
Ground beef, cream, corn, tomatoes, just like a little Mexican pizza, but we made a flatbread out of it. It's not round.
Well, I'm glad we got that settled. Yeah, sure. Well, all the caviar can be had, as that caller of ours who came in, Martin Wine Cellar would be always the first place I'd go looking for that. I know they have had it since day one, as far as I remember.
Yep, locally they're a big supporter for retail.
Yeah.
Or our website, CajunCaviar.com.
Anyone, believe it or not, we have a fairly good number of people who listen to this show all over the country. So if they were... Let's say if they lived in Ponca City, Oklahoma, or Des Moines, Iowa, or Duluth, or any of those other duh cities, where would they go to buy this, maybe?
They can go to our website, which is
Cajun. Oh, and you mail order?
Get CajunCaviar.com. Uh-huh. We do overnight shipping.
CajunCaviar.com.
Yep.
And really, it's very special.
And locally, if you haven't tried the product, on July 14th, Martin's Wine Cellar in
Metairie.
That's
Bastille Day.
Yes. They're going to do a champagne and Cajun caviar tasting from 6:30 to 8 o'clock.
Whoa. How can you possibly miss that?
So
when is that again? That's
July
14th? July
14th. Yep, at the Martin Wine Cellar in Metairie.
Uh-huh.
And it is from 6:30 to 8.
Okay.
Yep, 6:30 to 8 o'clock.
That's going to be a packed house.
And you can get tickets are available at Eventbrite or on their probably go to Martin's Wine their website as well.
I would think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, good. Well, I'm glad everything is just rolling along and no one has come in and said, hey, you can't do that. Because it's the kind of thing, you know, it's these shoe pick are endangered.
Well, they're definitely not endangered.
I don't think they are. I mean, the population from everything I've ever read in – you know, the LSU has this wonderful little publication they put out about the whole fishing industry. I read it every time it comes out because I learn all kind of stuff. But it's apparently it isn't. They're doing okay. And they've lived on this earth way, way longer than almost any other fish species in the world.
Yeah, they're more ancient than sturgeon.
Yeah,
it's a very old fish.
It's amazing. So you're getting something unusual in a whole bunch of ways, but just the flavor of it is just great. Well, thanks for dropping in. Do we have any time? Yeah, we have a little bit of time. Anything else that we have left unsaid that maybe ought to be said? No?
As of now, no. But we can talk about food. Another food show.
It is the food show. That's certainly true. What's really popular at the restaurant these days?
I was just reading just some generally. Comments today, yeah. And mm-hmm. I have like 5 or 6 different people just commenting on how good the Korean short ribs were.
Korean short ribs.
Yes.
That's another thing that my wife and daughter love.
Yeah.
What makes them Korean? Someone asked me that, and I didn't have an answer, so I'll ask you.
I would have to say 2 things. One of them would be the cut of itself. So it goes across mm-hmm. the short rib itself, and it's about 3 bones, and they're fairly thin, the cut itself. And then the marinade as well. It's a sweeter marinade with soy sauce, normally Asian pear, but if you don't have Asian pear, we use green apple, some green onions, garlic, a little bit of Korean chili flake, and some sesame oil.
So it's got a good hit of pepper in it.
A little. I mean, not a whole lot. No, it's definitely on the sweeter side.
Korean food, it's unpredictable because oftentimes it will really pack a punch in terms of pepper. And so other times you'll get a dish that seems almost identical to the one you had, same restaurant even, and it's totally different.
It really just depends. But the cool thing about it is you normally have like white rice with Korean food. So yeah. they don't season it. They don't salt it. It's just like steamed rice. Mm-hmm. And they want you to use the rice to kind of
balance
everything out, yeah. which works nicely there.
I would imagine, yeah.
Yeah. And well, the variety of pickles and marinades and the kimchi that they serve you with is pretty, pretty cool.
How do you make kimchi? That was just a stupid comment. It's not even good enough to repeat. I want to thank you, everybody, for joining us and stopping in.
Hey, thanks for having us.
It was great.
And
yeah, thank you.
Always a lot of fun, and I'll see you over at the restaurant great. One of these. It's amazing.
Where are we located again?
You're on Girard Street.
Yes.
Girard Street.
Girard.
Nicholas Girard. You know what else Nicholas Girard owned was it's right behind the Royal Orleans Hotel. It's been around since the 1700s. It's somebody tell me the name of the place. It's a bar, really, more than anything.
Sorry.
I this getting old, you know. It's just I can't remember anything anymore. Huh? When? What? What did
was
you
it a hotel and bar? Is that
no, saying? No. It's a separate bar unto itself on the corner of St. Louis and Charters. And they're famous for their Pimm's Cups.
Napoleon House.
Napoleon House, thank you.
Miranda.
The Napoleon House.
I'm here with one random fact.
Now, why did I bring up the Napoleon House?
Because Girard owned it as well.
Girard, that's right. He owned it.
Yeah.
And
they also use Cajun caviar.
He is the one who wanted have Napoleon actually live there. That was his idea. He must have been quite a guy.
Hmm.
Yeah. All right, it's The Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. Thanks for being on the program.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.